All right. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing today? All right. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. So, thank you, Jesus. God is a good God. Today, we want to talk about dominion through your tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you're still hallelujahing after you hear this message. Overview. God is a speaking God. He created with his words, and by his words, all things are upheld. And we were created in the image of God. We were given a mandate to take dominion over all the earth and everything in it. That mandate is carried out through our words. Effective words of dominion come from the heart that is full of purity, righteousness, and goodness. Use your words to take dominion over your world and to fulfill the plan of God in these last days. As we go into this, I want to read the scripture from Genesis about the dominion that God has given us, and I want to point out a couple of things. Verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, he created man. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it over all the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, one thing I want to point out here is that the verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them and said unto them." Now, Adam and Eve did not hear that part that said that God blessed them. All they heard was after that when he said, "And God said," and he gave them instruction. But it's important to realize that God did bless them. In other words, he empowered them to do the mandate that he had given them. And every mandate of the Word of God, every command of the Word of God, as you step out in faith to do it, or step out in faith to say it, the blessing of God is behind it. The empowerment of God is behind it to bring it to pass. We have been given a mandate and the blessing, the power, the empowerment to fulfill that mandate. And that goes for every part of our life. Husbands, you were told to love your wife. You know what? God empowers you to do that. And wives, you are instructed to submit to your husbands. God empowers you to do that. He has given a blessing with his command, with his instruction. And that goes for every part of our life. So let's talk a little bit about the tongue. What is the purpose of the tongue? What is the goal of the tongue? I think biblically, it becomes pretty evident that the tongue is more than just a little flapping thing to allow us to communicate with one another. I mean, that's what we tend to use it for, is to communicate with one another, but that's not the primary use or the primary purpose of the tongue. Look what the tongue was used for in Genesis. We were just looking at Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 2, as God was instructing Adam in terms of the work that he was to do, it said that he brought every animal before him so that he could name them. See, he was speaking. He was creating, not creating the animals, but he was setting in motion God's plan. God created the animals, and he spoke to, as part of his work, to set God's plan into place. And that really is what the purpose of words is for. Now, between Adam and us today, a lot of things have happened, right? There was the fall. There was the evil one taking over. There was, of course, the evil that was in the earth and has been in the earth because of that. The scripture calls Satan the god of this world. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 4:4. And Jesus restored us. Part of his calling in giving his life, in shedding his blood for us and his body being broken, was that it would restore us to that Adamic covenant. And so we are to walk in that same way that Adam walked, using our words to take dominion. But we struggle with that. I want us to look at a couple scriptures there in James chapter 3 and in James chapter 1. James chapter 3 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." In the Amplified, it says, "For we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, never saying the wrong thing, he is a perfect man, fully developed in character, without serious flaws, able to bridle his whole body and rein in his entire nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses." Wow, that's a big, tall order. No kidding, I like that. Okay, well, that's a challenging verse. Let's look at the next one there in James chapter 1, verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion, or but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is vain, vanity, useless, empty." Boy, talk about it. Another challenging verse. You can't bridle your tongue. For example, there was a story I heard a man tell. He was in the back of the church, and this woman was kind of towards the back of the church. She was there with her little, about six-year-old girl. And she's just, during the praise and worship, she's just all worshiping the Lord. And it seemed to be just really enjoying praising God and worshiping. And she had her eyes closed, her hands up, and swaying back and forth. Well, her little six-year-old started pulling on her skirt. "Mommy, mommy, mommy. Mommy, mommy, mommy." She kept ignoring her. "Mommy, mommy, mommy." Finally, she reaches down. She slaps the kid across the face and says, "Can't you see I'm worshiping?" That woman's religion, her devotion to God, is in vain. If any man cannot bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. Wow. Okay, are you still hallelujahing? Taking dominion through your tongue? Whew, okay. So if we want to be what God has called us to be, that perfect man, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, manifest as Son of God, we've got to get our tongue under control. And that's really what this message is about today. We can't really take dominion with our tongue effectively if it's not under control. Let's go on talking about goals of the tongue. To move the mountains of challenges in our lives with our tongue. from Mark 11:23, speaking to the mountain, changing the seen with the unseen, changing the seen with the eternal, using our words, releasing the anointing as we speak from Mark chapter 16. Most of us are familiar with these verses. I don't need to read them. But there in verse 20 of Mark 16, it does say that they were out preaching, and it says the Spirit working with the Word and bringing signs and wonders as they spoke. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the things that we say bring either death or life. In Matthew 8, verse 26, we see here the story of Jesus with the mega storm, the great storm that had come up and threatened to submerge the ship that they were in. And it says, and Jesus spoke and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm, in the Greek, a mega calm that came. And we have that same power and authority through our words to be able to command the weather. And we've done that, and we've seen that happen. We can use our tongue to cast out demons, devils, and evil spirits out of our own lives and out of people's lives, out of our situations around us. And of course, we use our tongue in prayer. And in the last days, we are called in Luke 21:36 to pray. It says there, watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So with our words, we bring things into alignment of God's will. With our words, we are world changers, mountain movers, giant killing sons of God, using our tongues to spread the kingdom of God through all the earth. But now let's get back and talk a little bit about the tongue itself and how to get it under control. The problem with the tongue, the spiritual battle in the mind is for the tongue. The fiery darts of the evil one bringing the temptations to our mind, thoughts that are against the Word of God, and that battle that takes place in our mind is a battle for the tongue. To try to control our tongue, because our tongue guides our life, and we're going to see some of that in a minute. The tongue guides our life. I want to read 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to bring our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. And really what that is talking about there is I'm going to go back to our processes that we understand from the Word of God having to do with who we are and how God has made us as the pentecotomy, the five parts of man, the spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body. So just a real quick review of what we know from the Word of God is that it starts in our mind. The change, the transformation in our life starts with the mind. Our mind being renewed by the Word of God, Romans 12:2. Our minds being renewed by the Word of God. And then as we have the Word of God in our mind, we begin to act on it and do it to get it into our hearts, for it to become part of our core value system, of what we value, of what we believe to be true, so that the Word of God becomes part of our core value system. And then when it's in our hearts, it comes out of our mouth and changes things, leads and guides our life coming out of the heart. And then that changes our soul, the direction, our desires, our ambitions. And then that then leads to us doing the things that God has called us to do. Our body gets under control, and our words and our works can affect this world. It's our process of releasing the power of God through our lives, through our heart, our soul, our mind, and our words and our works. So when we're really talking about thoughts here, bringing every thought captive, the reason why we want to bring those thoughts captive is because we don't want them to affect our heart. Because when they affect our heart and start coming out our mouth, it changes the things around us. It changes our life. And we're going to see that in a few minutes. It's a heart-tongue relationship, because in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said this, starting in verse 33, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruits. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man," verse 35, "a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good. And an evil man out of the evil in his heart, evil treasure in his heart, bringeth forth evil things." So it's what's in our heart that comes out. So what really affects the tongue, what really controls the tongue, is the heart. And I know from experience that if something is in my heart, my mind can try to get me to say it, but my mouth, it won't come out my mouth because my heart is controlling it. One illustration I like to use that helps me to kind of solidify it is that, you know, that old song, you know, the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Well, your tongue bone is connected back there to your heart, to your spiritual heart. And what's in your heart will, like I said earlier, override what wants to come out of your mind, what wants to come out of your mouth. One time, Pastor was trying to do this illustration, and he wanted me to say that I was going to shave my beard off. And I, you know, he was trying to use it as an illustration for something he was doing, but I could not get the words out of my mouth. Because I was not interested in shaving my beard off. I wasn't even going to say it or suggest that my beard could possibly be shaved off. I mean, I've had this thing for almost 40 years now, and it ain't coming off. It's part of me. And no, I just wouldn't say it, because in my heart, this is me, and I'm not going to override my my direction of my life in that area with my words. Anyway, so let's look at James 3 in light of the fact that the heart is what is behind our tongue. Who controls the reign of our tongue? James chapter 3, verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us and turn about their whole body." Going on, "Who's the governor of the rudder of the tongue? Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm," very small rudder, "whithersoever the governor listeth." So who controls the tongue? Who controls the rudder of the tongue, the rein of the tongue? What is it? It's our heart. Going on, verse 6 of James chapter 3. "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. So there is an understanding that we need to come to, that in our hearts there is good and there is iniquity. Things that aren't so good. Things that we have learned over the years that come from the evil one, that comes from people that have been around us, that have a twisted, which is what iniquity means, has a twisted way of thinking. Matter of fact, James gets so explicit on this that he actually says this in verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Yet the tongue directs our life. Yet a tongue that's unbridled, our religion is in vain. A tongue that is not controlled or isn't going to be controlled keeps us from being the perfect man that God has called us to be. Going on in James chapter 3, at the end there, verse 14, "But if you, having bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." And in the Amplified, it says demonical. Verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now notice that is coming out of the heart, that envying and strife. And of course, it gets engendered primarily through our tongue. Remember what it started with in verse 2 about if anyone offends not in word, not with words. So boy, that kind of really puts us in a conundrum. How do we control an untamable tongue that is so important in our life? And if we want to have the kind of dominion that we need to have in these end days that comes primarily through our tongues, how are we going to do that? We got to get our heart under control. We've got to get out the iniquity. That's where it starts. First of all, let me encourage you. For man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. This really shows us what Galatians chapter 3 is talking about when it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? After you were saved and born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, are you expecting that you can perfect yourselves by your own strength?" No, it comes the same way, through the power of the Holy Spirit and letting Him be in control of our life. So what are some of the fundamentals of breaking the power of hell over our lives, over our tongue in particular? First is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a point at which we relinquish control of our tongue. We break the disconnect between our mind and our tongue and our heart and our tongue, because now our tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So that is a very foundational thing. And then the ongoing habit of praying in tongues, of speaking in tongues, is a key element in overcoming this challenge of controlling and taming our tongue. Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always in the Spirit. There should always be going on in our lives a prayer to God and praying in the Spirit. It keeps our tongue under control. We also need to give our tongues to God as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Many years ago, when I was going through some spiritual challenges, crises in my life, I decided to get away for a while, for a week or so. I packed up some camping gear and I took off for a week. And there at that time, as I prayed and as I was spending time in the Word, I came across Romans 12. It'd been a while at that point in time. I was a fairly new Christian when this happened. And I was reading that scripture, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And I can remember standing there. I had gone for a little hike that day. I was standing there on a ridge. And I remember I just offered my whole self. I just started at the top of my head and every part of me. I just said, God, I'm yours. My head, my ears, my eyes, my tongue, my brain. I mean, I just went through my whole body from the top to the bottom, offering myself as a living sacrifice. So we need to offer our tongues to the Lord as part of all of us, as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. It's good and bad. It's good to be a living sacrifice because then we're dynamic and we can be of service and help to the Lord. In other words, not a dead sacrifice. On the other hand, we're a living sacrifice, which means it's easy to crawl off the altar. It's easy to get discouraged at times and to want to give up. But as a living sacrifice, when we have given ourselves to the Lord, we need to go on to verse 2, which says, and do not be conformed to this image, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where the transformation process of the living sacrifice begins, with our mind, getting the Word of God into our mind, which gets it into our heart, which changes our heart, which changes what comes out of our heart. On an ongoing basis, you need to be confessing sins of the words that you've spoken and just sins of words. The scripture says in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. You know, that's one way of controlling your tongue. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. Even a fool with a froward mouth is considered wise when he keepeth it shut. Words of wisdom from our friend Solomon. And a little bit of my interpretation. Okay. So, let's go on now. Training your tongue for dominion. A three-pronged approach. Renew the mind with the Word of God. Reading and studying. Of course, this is what we just talked about from Romans chapter 2, about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course, that's the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then the second approach is to fill the heart with the Word. And you do that by hearing and doing. Again, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So you need to fill your heart with the Word of God so that it becomes that good heart that we read earlier in Matthew chapter 12. Out of a good heart of a man comes good. And James 1:21 and following tells us that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word. In other words, to realize that God knows more than we do, and His word is worthy to be adhered to, followed, obeyed, because He knows more than we do. And we come before His word with meekness. Whether we understand it or not, we need to come before His word with meekness and let it become engrafted into our hearts. And then thirdly, focus on the fruit of the Spirit as a foundation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and self-control. See, when the fruit of the Spirit characterizes our lives, then that is the place where we become good, where our heart is purified. Letting the Word of God found in the fruit of the Spirit rule our lives, walking in the love of God and loving others, walking in His peace and His joy with patience, results in goodness, kindness, gentleness. And then, of course, we walk it all out with our faith, humility, and our self-control, our moderation. So focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you're going to have words of dominion that are effective in these last days, it's going to have to come out of that kind of heart. So let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And I suggest that a good place to start with that Word of God dwelling in you richly is through the fruit of the Spirit. Through the fruit of the Spirit. So, fundamental affirmations that you can be doing and should be doing if you're not already. 1 Corinthians 2:16, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. So that helps to take care of the mind component. Psalm 19:14, in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart acceptable to Him. And then that is dealing, of course, with the mouth and the heart. And then Romans 6:11 combined with 1 Peter 2:24, in the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God and living unto righteousness. I have found that to be a very effective affirmation in my life, desiring to live unto righteousness. So what are our spiritual warfare tools that we can incorporate here to help us train our tongue so it becomes a tongue of true dominion that comes out of the right kind of heart? One, of course, as we already talked about, is casting down imaginations and bringing every thought captive. When a thought comes into your mind that's contrary to the Word of God, then confess it as a sin. Repent and renounce and break it. RRB, for those of you who know what that is. Another very effective way is the hand controlling the tongue. The hand controlling the tongue. Now, we just talked about the heart controlling the tongue. This is a practical way of the hand controlling the tongue. Proverbs 30:32. But if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou have thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Lay thy hand upon thy mouth. In other words, don't be speaking it. Now, that next one, Shut your mouth. I've listed here 9 different scriptures. There would be a total of 10 if you use the one from Proverbs 30:32 that we just talked about. These all talk about the importance of mouth, I should say, that is shut. I want to read some of these to you. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. Okay, there's just some practical things to be thinking about. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth, in other words, that word keepeth means to guard. He who guards his mouth keeps or guards his life. Wow. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Keep your mouth shut. You know, everything that you think, everything that goes around in the iniquity of your heart doesn't have to come out your mouth. Let's look at Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So if you have knowledge and understanding about the Word of God and about these things we're talking about, then spare your words. Verse 28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Okay, important words for us to live by in order to have tongues that take dominion. One more I want to read here. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. In other words, again, the word keepeth also could be translated guard. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. So that's from a practical standpoint. You know, put your hand over your mouth. You know, people say things like how to control your anger, or some of the things you say, you know, like, you know, bite your tongue, count to 10 before you say anything, and stuff like that. Well, that can be helpful, but, you know, the good old hand method could work too. Another very important one, utilize others to encourage you and correct you. If you have a spouse or a roommate or someone that you're close to, you spend a lot of time with, you know, give them permission to let you know when you're out of bounds with your words, when you're saying things that you shouldn't be saying. Now, one of the things that you need to realize is that when words start spewing out of your mouth, words that you don't like, that means there's some iniquity, some stuff that's going on in your heart that you need to deal with. If you're a person that has been offended or are easily offended, and there's offense rattling around in your heart against some person, you're still dealing with it or whatever it might be, and then they do something else, I mean, you've already got that thinking in your heart, and then when that other event happens, boy, it's even easier for negative words to come out of your mouth. You know what I'm saying? So we need to deal with those iniquities in our heart and utilize others. Say, hey, help me. The word says there in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. Well, that's part of the stimulating one another to love and good works. You know, not a forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is a habit of some. But we need to get together to encourage one another, and that could be one way. So give people permission in your life to let you know when you're saying something that you shouldn't. Another one is to pray in tongues a lot. We talked about this a little bit already, and you can look at the scriptures there. And use the tongue to speak God's word consistently. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says that we are to keep the word of God in our mouth. In our mouth. And so that means that we're speaking it. Then it goes on, it says, meditating on it day and night. And so that meditating in the Hebrew, it means to mutter. So under our breath, we're always speaking or muttering the word of God. So whether you're praying in tongues or doing affirmations or just quoting scripture, whatever it might be, these are good ways to control our tongue. Okay, let's go on to the last section there now. Taking dominion with your tongue. So we take dominion with our tongue through our heart, through love, through knowledge and understanding, and through power and authority. Now, a lot of us get excited about the idea of walking in dominion, taking authority, this obeying us and that obeying us, and changing things in this world, and, you know, controlling storms and, you know, whatever kind of things that talking about dominion, or speaking to cancer and have it disappear, and speaking to your body and have it obey you, and speaking to situations, you know, the lock on the car doesn't work, you speak to it. I mean, those are great things that we think about when we talk about taking dominion with our tongue and over the circumstances of our life. But I tell you what, if you want it to really be effective, it's got to come out of a pure and perfect heart. I was reading this last night in James chapter 3, the scriptures that I have listed here. I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole section to you. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. And that word conversation refers more than to just our speech, although it does refer to our speech. Basically, it could be translated lifestyle, which includes our words, our actions, all that kind of stuff. What constitutes our life? Let him show out of a good lifestyle, a good conversation. In other words, this particular person has a good heart. His works with meekness of wisdom. Kind of get the flavor of a person like that, right? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And then I love verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. I mean, can you feel the contrast between bitter envying and strife in your heart to pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, without guile, without cover-ups? I was reading this last night, and I just started crying. I said, God, that's the kind of heart that I want. That's pure and peaceable. And when I think about the contrast of that, it's just, you know, I hate that. I hate that feeling. I hate that sin. I hate the evil that comes from that kind of thinking. Ephesians chapter 4 kind of gives a similar type of feel to it. Ephesians chapter 4, And I'm going to start in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I mean, you can feel the evilness of those kind of things and the disruption in your spirit because of it and in your heart. Verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And see, that's the kind of heart that delivers a tongue of dominion and will set things free in your life. The word tells us that out of, and we've already looked at this, out of the abundance of the heart, a mouth will speak. So we want that to be a good heart. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 says that the heart of the righteous studies to answer. In other words, they're not quick to answer. The heart of the righteous is saying, wait a second. They're seeking God. What do I say here? How do I answer this situation? How do I answer this person? When we have iniquities in our heart and we go to speak to something, we may be doing it wrong. We may be doing it prematurely. We may be doing it in a way that is more harmful than good. So I'm just going to take authority over it. Well, wait a second. What does God say? We need to have a heart that is sensitive to Him. See, the disciples kind of felt this. I mean, I don't know where they got this from, but apparently in the conversations with Jesus and stuff as they were together, here Jesus with his disciples were going to this town on their way to Jerusalem, Samaritan town. And when they found out, the people in the town found out that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they didn't like that. They said, you can't stay here. And James and John, sons of thunder, said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? Let's take authority. Let's take dominion. And what did Jesus say? Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. You don't know what manner of spirit you are. In other words, there's iniquity in your heart because the Son of Man didn't come to destroy. The Son of Man came to save those that are lost. So in this particular incident, they were ready to take dominion, use their authority that Jesus had given them to, you know, wipe these people out. But see, the iniquity in their heart didn't put a stop where if they had had the right spirit, the right understanding, it would have stopped that initial impulse to do that. So we take dominion through our heart, a good heart. We also take dominion with our words through love. Faith works by love, and love serves. In Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. And we looked at this a couple weeks ago when we realized that that word means that it works. It has effectiveness. So by love, our faith is effective. That's great. Have dominion, authority. But it's got to be through love. It goes on in verse 13 and 14. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So when love is ruling in your heart, then you're not going to just jump on an opportunity, but that love will control your faith and cause your faith to work. But you'll also stop doing something that, in terms of taking authority, that you shouldn't be doing. Another one, we talked about this already, forgive one another from the heart. Because if you have iniquity in your heart, if you have unforgiveness, Jesus said after his parable about the man that owed his master, you know, a whole lot of money, a big, huge sum of money, and his master forgave him, and he went after this fellow servant that owed him just hardly anything and was ready to throw him into prison as a result of it. And Jesus said that because you have been wicked, said to the servant, because you've been wicked in what you've done, then I'm going to withdraw my offer of forgiving you for your debt. And he says, so likewise shall my Father in heaven also do unto you if ye from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. So forgiveness has got to reign in our heart, because if we have unforgiveness, it will cause us to make decisions. It will cause that iniquity to rise up, and we may do and say things that we don't want to. Matthew 5 puts it this way, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. And he ends there in verse 48 by saying, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we let the love of God rule in our hearts. Thirdly, we take dominion with our tongue through knowledge and understanding. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. And, you know, one of the things I was going through some notes that I have on Proverbs and all the places where it talks about words being used. And one thing I found really interesting is that every single place where it talks about words being used correctly, it always is from a wise man, a righteous man, a just man, which is really the same word as righteous, a man of knowledge, man of discretion, a man of prudence. These are all issues that come from the heart. So if you want good words coming out of your mouth, words that you can use to really take dominion effectively, then learn to be that kind of person by letting the Word of God dwell richly in you. So through knowledge, through understanding, we take dominion with our tongue. In Hosea 4:6, it says, of course, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we need to acquire the knowledge through the Word of God that will set us and others free as we use our words. And then, of course, we already mentioned this two or three times, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, and then we take dominion through power and authority. So power and authority, that is under the control of the heart, love, and knowledge and understanding, will be a power and authority that will really be effective. Because God has given us power and authority with our words. He has given us dominion and authority. In Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, which God wrought in Christ, this is talking about when Jesus was raised from the dead, says that which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So in Christ, we have that dominion. And then Ephesians 2:6 says that we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we also are seated far above all principality and power, might, and dominion. And we use our authority over all the power of the evil one. Luke 10:19, a scripture we're all familiar with. Behold, I give you power, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we come to authority, understanding that we do it with his power and his authority, that we have those in Christ Jesus. But we also need to realize that it's got to come from a heart that is pure and peaceable and all these things, that the fruit of the Spirit is reigning in our hearts so that we are able to hear. See, the whole key to this is we've got to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if the voice of the Holy Spirit is drowned out by our iniquities in our heart, it makes it hard to hear and hard to make the right decision on a moment's notice to be able to take dominion over things that come upon us and come against us in these last days. So we need to train our tongue for dominion by getting the iniquities out of our heart through the Word of God. Amen.